We greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning in worship, in spirit and truth. As I was thinking about coming here, I was picturing another church house until I think it was maybe on our way up here. I was thinking, I believe it's going to be a different place than what I'm thinking. So it's a blessing to be with you, as well as I think maybe it was 10 years ago that I worshiped with you here during a week of revivals. As was mentioned, I have a responsibility to preach a bishop qualification message. It's one of those things that we wish someone else would maybe do that and we could listen. But as one studies church history and just thinks about God's people, we realize that faithful leadership is very important. And we're studying in the book of Judges. And we're learning that faithful leadership with God's people is very important. And we saw leaders like Joshua be faithful and fill their place. And it was a tremendous blessing to the people. And we also have lessons like today, where we see the loss and the hardship and the difficulty when there is not godly leadership. We do thank the Lord for His faithfulness in the past, raising up leaders to serve His church. You may open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And also, we'll be reading a few verses from Titus. I know I have taken faithful leaders for granted over the years. You know, we grew up in churches. I at one point was sitting where these boys are in the front bench, and you know, I expected church leaders. We took them for granted. Back then, I didn't realize the weight that those men carried on their shoulders. God has various ways of teaching us things that we didn't know. Lord willing, at the end of March, a brother will be called that's presently serving as minister or deacon in your district, and will be called to the office of bishop. And you will be given opportunity to nominate a brother, a minister or deacon, to be possibly called. And it's very important that you are spirit-directed and that you consider biblical qualifications and that you use good judgment in that nomination. This message is to help you to be a blessing in finding God's will for ordaining a new bishop in your district. You may be a sister this morning. You may not even go to the council room, but we want you to be a blessing. And much prayer is needed for this work, and we appeal for each of you to be praying about this need and this work. I'd like to first read from Titus a number of verses, and then we'll turn to Timothy. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed them. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'd like to read verses 1 through 7. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Here we have clear teaching on qualifications. We'd like to use this passage and just go down through it phrase by phrase this morning. First, we see here in the first verse that bishop work is good. You know, the office of minister or bishop is a good work. You know, we can tend to have a mentality that a negative mentality, maybe a bad work mentality. But notice it says a good work. He desireth a good work. That word means, the word good here means honorable, excellent, beneficial, productive. Notice that the position of the ministry is not emphasized as much as the work of the ministry. Not the position, but the work. He desireth a good work. I was pondering this verse during our Sunday school. We can't really make it say something else than what it says. If you study this, it's exactly what it says. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. You know, what if we had a volunteer to be bishop in your district? Did you ever think about that? This brother's saying, I'm desiring, he wants to be used in this way. What would you say? How many would think that there just has to be pride somewhere? You probably think that there just has to be pride somewhere. Some carnal ambition that he would be interested and willing and even desiring to be bishop. You know, with our Mennonite mindset, if I say that, we can hardly process that without thinking there almost has to be some type of carnal ambition. That's what I was thinking about during Sunday school a little bit. But, you know, we do have volunteers to be husbands. We do have volunteers for sometimes missionaries, sometimes for teachers. But I wasn't going to even comment on that thought, but I was just thinking about that, and we're very prone to pride and carnality. But I do believe that it is possible. There could be a group of believers over in China, and there's a brother that he's burdened about the kingdom of God. He would like to see individuals baptized. He would love to see couples married, and he loves the kingdom of God, and he's willing to be used of God, and strictly in a pure sense. But again, with our mindset, it's and I'm satisfied with that, we do not have individuals volunteering to be bishop. because of various reasons. I'm satisfied with the way we go about discovering God's will, because we can be easily fooled from what we think and really is what is God's will. But I'd like to emphasize with this verse that it is a good work. It's a very good work. God's work and the work of the what individuals need to do. Someone needs to be involved in making the right things happen. Baptize believers and marry believers and excommunicate and have the church pure and holy to please God. Now we'd like to look at verses 2 and 3. Personal qualifications, we could call these verses. The one who fills the bishop leadership, he needs to have some personal qualifications. And there's a number listed here. We'd like to spend some time thinking about them. He must be blameless. This means that he is above reproach. He's not open to attack. He's not able to be criticized by the enemy at all. For example, his neighbors don't have a list of complaints that he's not responsible. He doesn't pay his bills. He's not a good neighbor. He's not good with his word, or he's not good with his obligations. Notice, too, the next phrase, the husband of one wife. As I studied this, it was mentioned that from the earliest times of church history, this qualification has been interpreted differently. Some held that the bishop or minister must have a wife. He must be married. That would be where, in times past, where some applied this verse. Some have applied it that he can't marry again if his wife passes away. He may only have one wife in this life. I like the statement that a bishop must live a life of strict morality. He must be a loyal husband, preserving marriage in all its purity. It was a statement by William Barclay that a bishop must live a life of strict morality. He must be a loyal husband, preserving marriage in all its purity. I appreciate that. I believe that's how I would understand this, what this would be saying. I believe the husband of one wife. Notice the word vigilant. It means temperate, self-controlled, watchful. Bishop needs to be vigilant. He needs to watch over and control his own life and also of those of his dear people. I believe this is very important. We can apply this very broadly. And this morning, I want each of us to apply these truths to our own life. You know, we don't have church life where there's sort of a top tier and there's a few people that this is where the bar is and they need to strive for that. We are a community of believers and we're striving for godliness and holiness. And think about this the word vigilant. We're all called to be vigilant. Vigilant over our own life. We can apply it to mothers and fathers and school teachers. We're all involved in watching over and controlling. There's a sense that I hesitate to even use that word control because we can see that in a negative sense, and because there can be something that is individuals that are over controlling, or even a bishop that is over controlling. But if a teacher fails to keep control in his or her classroom, then we soon see control as positive. If we visit school and the class is, you can tell, there's just no control, then we soon see it as a positive thing to have some control. But yes, as I mentioned, over-control can be definitely a problem, and it can be a problem with a bishop. But I believe that is a problem if we're not first vigilant with ourselves, controlling ourselves. Again, this word here, vigilant, means temperate, self-controlled, and watchful. And I believe that needs to first begin with ourselves in our own life before we can be being able to be responsible with others that are under our care. There's many applications, the thinking of church leaders and bishops, of being vigilant, being watchful, noticing both the good and the needs, because we can keep from loss, if even loss of our young people, loss of, if we're being vigilant, we're noticing what's happening instead of catching it after there's loss. The next word is sober. It means to have a mind that is sound, sensible, and controlled, disciplined, chaste. A mind that has complete control over sensual desires. Sober, this doesn't mean that he doesn't enjoy a good laugh. But he knows when to stop. He knows and enjoys, he enjoys serious conversations. Sober. There'll be individuals that will share things with him in confidence. They need to be able to have that confidence that he is sober and serious about life. Of good behavior. This means well behaved, orderly, composed, solid, and honest. Is a brother who has good conduct and whose behavior that others can pattern after. Given to hospitality means to have an open heart and home. The Amplified New Testament says showing love or being a friend to believers, especially to strangers and foreigners. Found that interesting. That a bishop is called not to just be a friend to believers, but even to unbelievers. And he has a heart for those that are out of the way. And he's given to hospitality. He's given to kindness, especially to strangers. Notice that we read in Titus, here it says, given to hospitality. In Titus we read, a lover of hospitality. He enjoys it. In verse 8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. You know, this concept and attitude will be very helpful in bishop work. It will make the work easier if you are a lover of hospitality, if you love to give. And if he can find enjoyment in being a giver. It's something, again, that we should all be cultivating in our own life. Each of us here this morning, are you given to hospitality? Are you a lover of hospitality? At your place of work, during the week to reach out, help needy souls, be kind to them, bless them, and expect nothing at all in return. Moving on, apt to teach. This means he is able and capable. He's skillful and qualified to teach. A bishop needs to be willing and able to instruct others in truth. Sometimes it's by request. Other times there will be no request. But it may be just a casual conversation that he's having with anyone. Maybe a young person. And he has an opportunity to lead and help that young person in a right direction. Apt to teach. Apt to bring Bible truth out. Apply it to his life. Apply it to others in the congregation. To lead instruction class. Find it enjoyable to instruct people in truth. Truth that people really desire, deep down in, really, really want. They may not show it, but deep down in, even the struggling Christian desires many times to be instructed in truth. Needs to be grounded in God's Word in order to instruct others in truth. Moving on to the next one in verse 3, not given to wine. Greek scholars tell us that the word used here implies sitting over wine. There's a few things about Bible times that's good to keep in mind with this statement here. That is that the water supply was often inadequate and dangerous at that time. Again, I state something that William Barclay states about the ancient world. He says, although the ancient world used wine as the commonest of all drinks, it used it most abstemiously. That means he used it marked by restraint. When wine was drunk, it was drunk in the proportion of 2 parts of wine to 3 parts water. A man who was drunken would be disgraced in ordinary heathen society, let alone in the church. Sitting over wine was a common practice in their day, even of professed religious people. This is calling that there's not a sitting over wine. We know they drank wine, but there's not a sitting over wine. I believe we can apply this truth to us, to a brother that will be called to bishop, and we can apply this to leadership. These brethren that may possibly be called to this should be presently applying this to their life as well as all the brethren. And that is to restrain appetites for his own sake and also for example's sake. A qualification for bishop is someone that is drawing lines for himself. And it's not always because there's some rule somewhere. But he sees the needs and he sees his own vulnerabilities in life. And he draws lines. And he also draws lines for his family. No striker, verse 3. He's not combative or violent. Not contentious or quarrelsome. Rather, he is kind, he's gentle, he's long-suffering to others. Not greedy of filthy lucre. A bishop may not be a lover of worldly gain and possessions. He cannot be a person that is out there to get. But he needs to be a person that is out there to give. He needs to be okay to be a little poor because of the cost of his ministry and the cost of being committed to ministry. He needs to be okay with that, to be a little poor, because there'll be times that you'll just be working less. And sometimes when you aren't there, things don't get done quite when they should. Maybe the corn doesn't get sprayed when it should. There's other things that, well, if you were just there, it's a day or two later. And sometimes there's some loss because of that. And one can get upset about that or angry about what this ministry is doing to this part of my life. But we can't. And that may be a struggle for all ministry. I think those ordained here know what I'm talking about. But the work of bishop, there's things that will be unknowns, just things of spiritual matters that are very urgent. There will be deaths. There will be things that all at once, your schedule is completely changed. And there needs to be acceptance of that. But again, being able to navigate that idea of having a perfect life and everything just gets done in time and when it should. We could put that under this, not greedy of filthy lucre. Some of this of what I'm sharing is maybe under some other points, but I'm just thinking of that now. I think if we're going to find a measure of joy in our work, we're going to need to accept how things come to us and accept losses at times. And sometimes those losses aren't always money. It can be maybe a change vacation or the loss of some plans we had, and we accept it. Patient. In Titus, it mentions not soon angry. He's called to be gracious, kind, gentle, forbearing, reasonable. The word here used for patient goes beyond treating somebody with justice. It reaches beyond justice and touches somebody with a gentle hand. That person may not deserve a gentle hand. If you go by justice, you wouldn't give him a gentle hand. But we choose to be patient. Again, there will be situations that you'll be tested to be patient. I think there is situations in both deacon, minister, and bishop. I'm not sure if there's more situations in one than the other, but we will be tested to be patient. This brother that you considering to nominate, need to be getting some passing grades on being patient under test. Being able to be controlled in situations that tend to rub you the wrong way. There'll be situations that you'd be very tested with. We need God's help to be patient. Not a brawler, not contentious or a fighter. He must be a man of peace. Not one that tends to make pieces. Of course, and there's plenty of opportunity, whether it's in meetings and endeavoring to bring things together and moderating ministerial teams. Is there an ability to bring some peace, or does his involvement tend to bring pieces? Not covetous. Not a lover of money. As I said, church work takes time, and there will be a loss of time. There will be loss of opportunities to make money, and he needs to be okay and at peace with that. Verses 4 and 5 zero in on family qualifications. A church leader needs to be showing some leadership in his own home. And this morning we're particularly thinking about someone that you may consider nominating to share in a lot for bishop. Is he showing leadership in his own home? The home is a miniature of the church. The home is proving ground for leadership in the church. You know, if what happens in the home is mostly by default, instead of positive direction, then you can expect the same in church life. Things will just happen more by default than giving positive direction. I will say that bad things can happen and do happen in ministers' families just as they do in everyone else's families. Ministers' families are not perfect. Their children are not perfect. The ministers' schoolboys, bishops' schoolboys, may be making problems along with the rest, maybe even more. But the question is, when this happens, it does happen, is it getting addressed? Is it being addressed, or is it just being defended? Sometimes in times past, there's been some of that, I believe, in the Mennonite church, where ministers, you know, defend their own children. If there's a need for that, it's good if maybe some other people do that there, rather than ourselves. But our children have needs just as everyone else. And do we address them or pass over them? Notice in verse 6, we see some spiritual qualifications. There needs to be some spiritual maturity. And also in verse 7, there would be some, we could call that, some qualifications in the community. That he has a good report of them without. That they have respect for his character and how he relates in the community. I would like to now go over a number of practical things for each of you to think about that I believe are Bible-based. Maybe just further making it practical. And that is, he needs to be somebody that's a good team player. He needs to do his part in communicating, and you know, there'll be emails, there'll be letters, there'll be phone calls. He should be one that responds. He needs to communicate. And there's many situations in bishop work. There's times when you don't feel like communicating. Maybe it's a difficult couple to work with preparing for a wedding. And you're dreading the situation. Maybe we feel like going in a shell, but there's no answers in that. I need to communicate and work through the difficulties and the challenges and find answers for them. Ability to be a good team player. Again, that is with ministerial teams, whether it's and it's schools. Of course, there's baptismal classes. There's planning funerals, planning weddings. That is some of the work of a bishop. Secondly, thinking of some other things to think about is to be able to work with lots of different people, not just a certain style. A bishop learns that even within the same conference, there's different personalities in the congregation. There's different ministerial teams and how they function. And there's some of that that we need to work with. Being able to work with lots of different people, people from different backgrounds, different ways of thinking. Thirdly, is willing to do church housekeeping. It's one of the hardest things for a bishop is to do that kind of work. When we give our vows, we are committed. We say we're committed to that. The decrees, we are bound to administrate what the decrees say. And that is sometimes some of the undesirable work of a bishop. And it's sometimes the unthankful work of a bishop. But we all know that what happens if the rules are just mean nothing. So that's some of the challenge. This brother will be needing to work with ministerial teams and keep the order in the church. There's wedding guidelines. There's different, many, quite a bit that our conference gives direction to. And this brother can't sit sideways and just ignore all that. He will need to work with that and administrate that. And that is some of the very hard work of bishop work, but it is necessary. So it's something that you should give some thought to the brother that you nominate. Will he be willing? Will he be able to administrate those difficult things? Fourthly is accept disappointments. There's times when a leader and a bishop may pour a lot of energy into a situation. It may be weeks of time, energy, investment. And in the end, it kind of ends up blowing up in your face, and there's loss. And you end up being sort of the the bad fellow of the whole thing. Possibly. It ends up being a big disappointment. You're misunderstood. Maybe your efforts are misunderstood. He needs to be able to accept that humbly. He doesn't need to go around to everybody his side of it. He needs to be gracious and kind, learn from it, be humble, and accept that disappointment. Learn where he could have done better. Fifthly is confidentiality with people. We know that church leaders learn personal information. It's put in trust with them. It's very important that that trust is kept. And sixthly, an ability to cope with stress and manage. Maybe a better word is to manage stress. We all know that church leadership does carry some stress. It's one of the reasons that lay brethren said, oh, when there's ordination in the church, not me. We know it will add more responsibility. It will add more stress to our life. And that's why there's deacons and ministers in your district that are thinking, not me. I hope it's not me, because they're not looking for more stress for their life and their family. It is something to think about. It is a big responsibility that is ongoing. We do believe God gives grace, and we are glad for that. But it is something to give some consideration when we name a brother, that in thinking and knowing that, can he handle more stress? Because there will be more stress in his life. And maybe a question is he being able to manage his current stress in leadership? Seventhly is wisdom and discernment. Decisions will be made by your new bishop. Time continues, and there's bishop ordained the end of March. The years to come, he will make decisions. He will need wisdom and discernment. Things will need to be analyzed. He will need God's wisdom and personal discernment. And this brother, at this point, should be giving some evidence of wisdom and discernment in how he relates to situations and school boards, to needs in the church. Eighthly is stability. Not someone that's constantly trying to change methods and practices. When there is an idea of change, he talks to others and gets some input. There can be times when there is a better way. And we can't always be saying, well, this is just how we've always done it. I think we need to be open to better ways. But I think there's a ditch on either side. Somebody that's just always trying to change things, that methods and practices that are not broke. And well, God uses many different people in his kingdom, many different types of personalities. And we know that there's a lot of variety. I think of when I was growing up, and bishops that served me, some were more quiet, some were a little more timid, and others were more outspoken, and a fair amount of variety. I can think of a number when I was a boy front at my church. It was Isaac Sensnick and Harold Good. It was, and later on, Sidney Gingrich and Aaron Shank and Steve Eppersole and Ivan Jr. I've had good experiences with those bishops, and yet there's a lot of variety in their personalities, and that's why it's a blessing to work together with other bishops, to even to balance us, because we are not safe in ourselves. So there is weaknesses and strengths When you think of naming a brother, he is going to have a combination of weaknesses and strengths. And if you're looking for a brother that has just everything that is just right up there, you're going to have difficulty finding him, because your leaders are human. We have need for growth in our own lives. No person has it all. And that's why we are so interested in plural leadership in a congregation. And also, it's a blessing to have a bishop board, that there's accountability and checkpoints that other bishops can speak into our life. None of us is safe completely on our own. I believe the church is best served when leaders are covering for each other's weaker areas. In conclusion, I'd like to say, encourage you to seek the face of the Lord in prayer. I think with all ordinations, we need to be careful what we say around the family table, and who we think this should be. Coming to a place of ordination is a very serious work. And it's because it's God's work. It's God's church. It's no man's church. It brought that out. I like that, how it mentioned in Titus that he is a steward. And that makes it very serious. As the steward of God. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. And that is very humbling and sobering to think about that. That we're all just working in God's vineyard, and we desire to be faithful. We desire to move under the head of the church, Jesus Christ. We want him to receive glory. As we move ahead, we're interested in being a faithful church. Jesus is coming back. And I believe we need faithful leaders to be taking their place in his church, so that the church is prepared for when Jesus comes. May God bless you as you look forward to this time, while we all hesitate at times in church life. We sometimes wish things could just stay the same. But with the movement of time, there's constant need for change. There's a constant need for new leadership, and I think we all will be happy for Brother Joe to be assisted, and continue to pray that God would bless this work and give another gift to the church in this way of having an assistant to Brother Joe. God bless you real much. Let's kneel for prayer.